Let's go! 3, 2, 1!
Welcome to another episode of Functional Fundamentals. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brad.
And today we are going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly part two. Part two of that. Good, bad, ugly of the fitness industry, part two. So maybe it just turns into kind of a rant slash bitch fest.
So we'll start off the bad part about the industry is what Brad was talking about earlier before we got on air, was about how, I would say, I guess, athletes, students, clientele, everyday population, expecting nutrition plans or nutrition advice to be straightforward, no theory, no thought behind it, and it's kind of like, hand me over like the keys to the castle kind of style. But you can go more in depth about your experiences you've had today and, I guess, the last couple weeks.
Okay, well, essentially today, being asked leading questions to reaffirm their beliefs or what they think already. So, again, we talked about having an open mind and, you know, having your cup, you know, empty so you can take in new information. It doesn't mean you have to wholeheartedly sign on to it or believe it, but at least be open for the experience so you're not wasting both of our times. But, you know, what happened just literally a couple hours ago, there was a discussion at the gym about nutrition and whatnot, and people going back and forth and debating and, you know, being asked leading questions of like, oh, this is right, you know, isn't this for this? And I'm not going to get into specifics, but that happens a lot where people follow a fad diet or whether it be paleo or ketogenic diet or whatever it is, and they want their beliefs to be heard and to be right, so they ask you things leading up to that to kind of facilitate that, you know, the responses that they want. And then when they don't hear the things that they want to hear, then they automatically kind of shut down. To the flip side of that, I did have a good interaction with someone at the gym who messaged me on Facebook, and he follows a vegan diet, and he started out kind of asking me leading questions about vegan diets and things like that, and I started responding in different ways, and he was very receptive to what I was saying, and essentially conversation went like, not everyone, you know, has the same medical conditions or the same genetics, and they can benefit through different things. I took him through scenarios more medically about people who may have ulcerative proctitis or anemia or different things. They're having a lot of blood loss and they need to replenish their iron stores. That might be very hard to do if you have a whole lot of bleeding through different ways, not to get too gross, but and you need to replace those stores. If you follow a vegan diet, maybe that's not the best thing for you, because the iron from the red meat is better absorbed rather than plant
so
iron.
The mixed conception I always hear is vegan so much better because of, you know, meat causes inflammation and all that kind of stuff, but to be a vegan, you kind of have to have the right criteria.
I'm not saying that. Well, let's start out by saying that people choose different nutrition paths based off religious belief, based off ethical beliefs, or personal preferences. That they don't always have nutrition as like the focal point. Mm-hmm. So that is the case a lot of times with vegetarianism or veganism. But essentially, not everyone fits that mold of, you know, that's the best thing for them or whatnot. You don't have to meet criteria to be a vegan. You can just make that choice. But there's pros and cons to any nutrition strategy, and you can do, if you're doing moderation, whether it's a normal diet, vegan, whatever, you can be healthy and thrive on it. But when people take it to extremes or they're not educated nutritionally about things, then things start getting askew. So it's not one size fits all. It's not, there's one best way to do it. It's highly individualized, and it depends on their genetics and their medical history, what's going on, what's wrong with them, what their current eating habits, what they overdo or underdo, and you can get yourself in trouble doing any of the diets, essentially. But to take it back around, the conversation started out with leading questions about wanting me to affirm his beliefs, and he was very receptive and never thought about medical conditions. He just assumed everyone was healthy.
Yeah.
So.
Which, yeah, you assume everyone's like you.
Yeah. Essentially. Exactly.
Like, and then I think an issue that I have is that everyone throws out like healthy, the term healthy,
mm-hmm.
like eating healthy, eating clean, healthy or clean. Like, what does that mean? I understand what they are implying.
But is it a word they heard? Or they actually
so many
stand
people
by
like,
it?
And as far as like when you're talking about these different diets that people are trying, they have like this general idea of nutrition where they think it's healthier, they think mm-hmm. it's clean, but they don't know exactly like what the body needs daily, mm-hmm. and they're not focusing on that. They're just focusing on like, oh, like this should make me feel better. I think it does make me feel better. Like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, like you haven't gotten blood work saying you're deficient or anything like that, or and so it's like this healthy and clean that's thrown out there so much. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and so let's make an example here. Like you should always know the health benefits. So when you say tomatoes are healthy, maybe that's a blanket statement, and not knowing the rationale that it has a phytochemical called lycopene that's protective against prostate cancer. So being aware of what the food is, what's in the food, and what the health benefit yeah, associated with that food.
Table,
exactly. And that's what you should know, and that's where supplements really kind of, not to get back on that because we covered that, I believe, in the first one.
Yeah.
But, you know, the term healthy, and well, what's the health benefit associated with that? And the FDA, you know, cracks down when you make health claims that you really need to show clear support. That's why they'll make vague statements about health and healthy and this and that mm-hmm. natural. And it's not really saying a lot, but you should know, like, fiber, you know, protects against high cholesterol and, you know, intestinal disorders, things like that. So you should know the health benefit associated with the food if you're going to start saying things like healthy, or a lot of dietitians say healthful. Almost like helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like that term, but that's what they use.
So it's similar like when you go to a store and you have healthy choice meals.
Yeah.
It's just a play on words because
most of
the stuff's not that healthy.
Well, it's healthy when you compare it to the others, essentially. Just like diet or less sodium and stuff like that. So out of the two choices, like this TV dinner or this TV dinner, like this is the healthy one.
Yeah,
like the one with more vegetables in it. Like, but why is it healthy? Like you said, like, are you aiming to get more fiber to lower your cholesterol? Are you going for the lycopene?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I like the way you spread that. Is why are you consuming this certain piece of food?
Mm-hmm.
What health benefits does it give? And you can translate that to exercise. Why are you doing this particular exercise? How is that going to help mm-hmm. you? Are you just doing it to do it, or is there a functional reason behind that? Same thing with anything else in life. Why are you doing this? Why you drive left instead of right? You know, we can relate that to many things, and people, I think, just do it because they're told or because of a different reason. Like, I know some people that just do bench press because it's aesthetically pleasing. It does nothing functional for what they need it for, and I can see someone just eating chicken and rice because it helps with their aesthetics. But it may not be beneficial
for
them as healthy. It's because
they saw someone who looks aesthetically pleasing, and they said, "What do you eat?" And the person goes, "Chicken and rice."
But the person could move horrible. Their internals could be jacked up.
That
it's
person,
not very well balanced either from a micronutrient standpoint.
That person's ignorant. As far as like, and it's not a bad thing to be ignorant. It's just it's the reality.
I think it's a bad thing when you're ignorant and you don't know you're ignorant and you're spreading information.
Yes,
and they
absolutely.
Go to the biggest guy in the room and maybe he is.
Yeah.
You know, not aware of all the facts, and he's giving
he's
out all this advice because he's
blessed.
Or he has a nice reaction to chemicals. Who
yeah.
knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, with that being said, I think a lot of people that I talk to that say healthy and they ask me about foods and, well, what can I do for my hair not to fall out? Things like that. Like, a lot of times people don't have an end goal. You're laughing at me. why would you look at me?
The example.
Like, if I knew, I'd have thick hair.
Well, that's what I was
yeah,
waiting.
I know.
Just follow my diet and we're good with the hair.
Yeah.
That's what I was waiting for you to say. Like, why would I know that?
Yeah, why would I know that? Clearly don't understand that topic. But no, they don't have an end goal in sight as far as, like, what they're trying to achieve, what their nutrition... They're acting on nutrition maybe... ideas from the media, but they don't know what their end goal is nutritionally, and I don't think a lot of people have thought about that.
I think that you can relate that to anything in the health industry, is people don't know why they're doing a certain thing. It's, I think a lot of it is,
I'm doing today because it's making it better today and tomorrow. I don't really care about the next 10 or 20 years. I'll figure that out down the road. And that's why I think a lot of people take supplements or, you know, chemicals to help them get bigger or lean down or do exercises incorrectly now, but it's going to help them build muscle or build mass. But down the road, they're not going to be able to move well, and they may have digestive issues or cancers or stuff like that because of the foods they eat. And I think a lot of it is, well, I'll worry about that when it comes to it, and today I'm just going to worry about doing this or this because I know it can work today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is because you see the media, like you said, on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even on just the normal news. The
quick fixes. That's what we want. We want instant gratification and a quick fix for anything. Just like here in probably 3 months, you're going to start seeing stuff about, like, get your beach body ready. Well, and, I mean,
In a week, we have the Arnold coming into town.
Yeah.
And that all that is just huge individuals pushing product.
Yeah, you're going to be ready for summer in these, like, 2 or 3 months if you just take one scoop of this every day.
But it's kind of weird because Arnold Classic happens every year. It gets bigger and bigger, which I'm not knocking. I enjoy going there to look. Just it's a...
I like it's the Sundays because that's when the events are.
Yeah, the events are great. I think anytime you're promoting health and fitness to its truest form, trying to be healthier and be fit is good, but it got kind of askew, again, to use that word, where it's turned into something else and you have all these magic potions and false promises and the snake oil and this will do this and... Like, people don't
one big wise up to push.
It. Oh, but no, I hear a lot of people, and the funny thing is, in at least the Columbus area, you know, most of the time gyms have their big influx between the second week of January to the second week of March. That's like the biggest influx for most health clubs. You know, there's resolutions of people trying to get ready for their beach body. Columbus, it's like the week after the Arnold, it fills up because everyone gets that that kind of like new motivation. Well, I'm going to go to the Arnold. I'm going to meet some fit people. I'm going to get a year's worth of supplements because you get my little swag bag. I'm going to hit the gym and I'll be just as big as them for the next Arnold. And you see that a lot because you'll see guys walk in with their Arnold t-shirt or their bodybuilding t-shirt. It looks like they haven't done anything except walk their ass to the kitchen to get, you know, more Funyuns or whatever. That's basically what you see these people as.
Hey, Funyuns are delicious.
They are pretty good.
And our new sponsor, Funyuns.
They are delicious. But you see these people...
They have the word fun in there.
Yeah, they are fun.
Okay. Anyway, you see these people.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, that's their motivation is I'm going to go to the Arnold, get supplements, and that's how I'm going to increase my health and fitness is by going to meet this bodybuilder I saw on Instagram that said there's coming to Columbus or this female figure competitor that's just gorgeous and she has this supplement. She gave me a hug and a t-shirt, so I'm going to... You know, do that so I can be next to her next year. You know, and I understand it's motivation. It's not a bad thing that they're getting in the gym because they're motivated for it. But I think it's a lot of, you know, false promises or things that aren't sustainable. Because, again, they start taking these supplements and they realize after a few weeks they don't work. Because those individuals that are pushing those supplements are doing more than just taking the supplements. They're in the gym 4 or 5 hours a day. They're on a strict diet. And they're doing things that... most people can't do. One, they don't have the time, or two, like you said, they're not gifted. They don't have the genetics to do that. But I don't know if it's a sense of ignorance with the public. They see that and they think they can be that. I think it's more of a really wish. They want to be like that. They don't realize that, you know, I can look like that if I just put the work in. It's like some guys aren't going to be good fighters. Some guys aren't going to be good baseball players. Some people aren't going to be good golfers or football or basketball. Some people just don't have the talent. And I think people are easy to accept they're just not good to play a sport, but no one wants to say, I can look good if I just do more push-ups or do more squats or eat this or eat that.
So let's talk about the flip side of this and supplements, and or maybe it could be the good side. I'm really torn on this. So say you're very healthy, you do work out, and there are people that are genuinely healthy and fit, and they want to optimize their health. And what they mean by that is they've achieved a certain high level of health and fitness, but they want to try to push the boundaries and see how they can optimize it further. And that's their reason for taking supplements. And I'm kind of torn on this, and I'll throw in a specific supplement, MCT oil. They have a lot of research showing both ways that it doesn't increase metabolism and does increase metabolism. They have research showing that it enhances endurance and it doesn't enhance endurance. It goes both ways. It's very torn. There is some research showing that it has a negative effect on your lipid profile, so your cholesterol, your LDL, HDL cholesterol. But if you're in good health and don't have a family, like medical past history of heart disease, they want to try this supplement to push it just a little bit further. What do you think about that?
I think if it's done, like you said, if they've done the research and they know they're not in a position to cause more harm, so going to a vascular doctor or going sitting down with a registered dietitian, and they know the facts, I'm okay with that. It's like the same thing if I have an athlete that's a high-level athlete and they want to push their envelope a little bit further. Well, the first thing we do is make sure they can move well, make sure they can do all the little tiny things correctly, make sure their body's in a position to develop more power. And again, my job as a strength coach is to make sure the athlete can perform at their highest level possible and not get injured. And I think with proper supplementation, it can be done okay. And again, the athlete's not going to go just do his own workout. He's going to be under, you know, constant supervision to make sure what he's doing is correctly to get him the best. So when an athlete wants to take supplements that's, again, under proper supervision, I'm 100% okay with that. I'm not a big component of pushing supplements because, one, I'm not the best one to do it. One, I really don't take them. And two, I'm not a dietitian. My job is to make the athlete stronger and make sure they don't get injured. And your job is to make sure they're fueled correctly. And that's the way I want to put it. So if an athlete says, hey, I want to take this supplement, I'm like, okay. Is it okay by them? It'd be like the same thing if the athlete says, hey, I want to do more deadlift. You'd be like, well, is it okay with them?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the both sides to it. It's one of those things where I have enough respect for my vision and my goals, plus enough respect with you and the athlete to not cross the boundary because mm-hmm. I can say, oh, yeah, go ahead and take that MCT oil. It'll be great for you. He starts taking it, and then all of a sudden you see him, you're like, why are you taking the MCT oil? Well, you know, mm-hmm. Mike said I could. Like, well, you can't because you have a history of high cholesterol in your family. This is actually bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing if you said, hey, can I do this lift? Oh, yeah, go ahead and do it. I'm like, why are you making him do that? He has bad ankles or his knee's not mm-hmm. working as well as I want it to do. So it's one of those things is crossing boundaries. I'm okay with everything as if that registered profession says, let's go do mm-hmm. it. Maybe yeah. like having tell one of my athletes, hey, do more meditation when they're seeing a psychologist and they're saying, don't meditate. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I don't know why they wouldn't, but I'm just saying sure. one of those kind of things.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm torn between. And like you said, I think it's good for people that have achieved that and there's not going to be any negative harm come to them. But the problem is when you hear podcasts or shows or media, Facebook, and they say MCT oil does this and this and this, and that's kind of misleading because there's controversial studies on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's tons of people, there's more people out there struggling with their weight and reducing overall calories, and they overconsume fat as a whole, and they do have heart issues. And then you're telling them to do something that could harm them or could hinder the progress. So right. It's kind of misleading because you're trying to sell something. So that's kind of the bad part. But the good part is if you are in a position to not be harmed by a supplement and you want to see if you're really going to start a new intervention and kind of monitor and see if you're progressing by whatever measurements that you come up with, then in my perspective, go ahead and do it because this person's a healthy, fit athlete, you know.
And on that, I think another good part about the fitness industry nowadays is the fact that there are more professionals working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's chiropractors working with their physical therapists, strength coaches working with therapists, strength coaches working with dietitians. So more people are working together instead of one guy, one-stop shop. And it's like, well, I take this, you take this, I do this, you do this. So now more professionals are working together. Thus, the chance of someone becoming their physical best is bigger. There's a better mm-hmm. chance of that occurring because it's almost like you have a bunch of coaches or a bunch of...
Your pool of knowledge is getting bigger.
Yeah, your pool of knowledge is getting better.
You have more people contributing. You have a wider pool of knowledge, especially when those people stay within their specialty. So you don't have one person trying to sit there and do everything like you said. You have these individuals that they specialize.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have this large pool of knowledge with specialists filling it, which yeah. is the the ideal situation.
Yeah, and we all have only a certain amount of time in a day, and we have maybe families, we have hobbies, things like that, or professions. So you need to be up on the latest research. If you're trying to wear a chiropractic hat and a strength conditioning hat and a dietetic hat, like, how can you possibly keep all these different guidelines and all this wealth of knowledge and stay at the highest level that you can possibly have? You really can't, unless you have no other life, no other obligations, and 24 hours out of that day, you're just dedicated to each of these things. Yeah. And then, you know, most people can't keep that information straight.
Yeah, and then where does your quality of life go if you are doing that? Yeah. If you're putting that much energy out there.
And if your quality of life is awful, it's just going to spill over into your students. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that'd be kind of a good and ugly side to it. But again, 10 years ago, chiropractors didn't work with anybody else. They just said, you come to me, I'll fix it all. You know, nutritionists were doing everything, and now dietitians became the real name. And then you have trainers that took a weekend course and did some tests on the side, like, I have my sheet of paper that I'm a dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's scary because, I mean, when I was in school, I had to get a license in the state of India to be a nutritionist for the profession I went into is physical therapy. We had to do it so we could talk basic knowledge to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically all I do is basic knowledge. They say, are grapes good? Yeah, they're good, but I don't know if they're good for you. I mean, I can answer simple questions, but I will never say, eat this because I eat it,
mm-hmm.
or try this because I've tried it. I basically give suggestions saying, that stuff sounds good, but you can try it, and if it doesn't work, we need to figure out more. Mm-hmm. I always say, go see a dietitian, go see a vascular doctor, go find out why certain foods you can consume and can't, because I can consume protein and carbohydrates, I'm good. But the next person, they can't consume these foods, or they eat what they, like Dave said earlier, clean food,
mm-hmm.
but they don't go anywhere with it.
Yeah.
You know, they gain weight, they lose weight, or may not anything change at all, and they don't know why.
Because you could be eating clean food, healthy food, but you're over-consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the part that people miss is, like, oh, I'm eating healthy foods and I'm gaining weight. Well, yeah. You can do that. Yeah, that happens.
Your salad may be too big of a salad. Yeah.
Or what you're putting on that salad, you may think's healthy, but it may be not
healthy. Or, how are you preparing those foods? I mean, depends. There's so much.
Well, it's kind of funny when I was actually at lunch today, and I just had my lunch, kind of doing one of your little things. They started talking about gluten and working out.
Sure.
And I'm just like, I'll just eat my side. Don't look at me, don't look at me. Because I was at the And then the one girl looks over and she goes, so, do you know anything about gluten? You're just sitting there being quiet. You seem like you're, because I was wearing all my health fit, I was wearing my fitness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually coming just to lunch with
shirts that say, I'm healthy.
I'm a good looking, healthy guy.
Yeah, yeah. Look at my hairline.
So she just asked the question.
Yeah, look at the hair.
And, you know, not to be rude, but like the rest of the people in the conversation were not the healthiest bunch.
Mm hmm.
So they were talking about gluten, and they said, what do you think about gluten? I'm like, well, it's gluten is just foods without processed flour for the most part. It's, you know, if some people are allergic to it, that's why you have gluten food, the gluten-free food. Like, well, isn't it a calorie? I'm like, well, essentially, yes. And I threw your name. I was like, I have a dietitian friend that says if you're allergic to gluten, don't eat it. Mm-hmm. If you're not, eat it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Because there is bad gluten food. I mean, you can, just because it's gluten doesn't mean it's healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a calorie, and it can be bad for you depending on what they put in that food. But essentially, if you want to be healthy, just eat foods that are real foods.
Isn't butter gluten-free?
So gluten's a protein and a lot of carbohydrate food and wheat, barley, and rye. So if it has wheat, barley, and rye, and it has gluten in it.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are allergic or sensitive to it. So just to kind of lay that foundation about gluten, so you have a gluten sensitivity or you have full-blown celiac disease. So again, I hear this a lot from people who aren't generally healthy. They're focusing on the culprit. This is why I'm this way. Kind of like victim mentality of it's gluten's fault and this is in our food and if I change this, everything will be all right. No, you're focusing on one small part. I'm not saying they don't have gluten insensitivity or they don't have celiac disease. I don't know these people at all.
Right.
But what I'm saying is you probably have very basic things of nutrition that you need to work on to take further steps. You should go see a medical profession and get biopsies done if you really think you have gluten sensitivity or celiac disease. You'll know if you have celiac disease. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Projectile vomiting, diarrhea, things like that. It's not mistaken. The gluten intolerance, you might have some gas or this or that. So it's a serious medical condition. but people generally, not everyone has that. It's a small percentage. And the people trying to fixate on very minute details that may not have anything to do with them and trying to blame that for some reasons, they need to take a step back and worry about eating healthier foods in the right portions and calorie balance and things like that instead of fixating on one thing.
And the funny thing is the conversation started because they were talking about gluten-free beer. Because one of the women there was a beer rep.
Yeah.
And she's trying to sell them beer. She's like, oh, this is our great gluten-free beer. It's actually healthy for you. And that's how the conversation started.
No, it's not.
Well, and that's what they said. It's like, and one person asked me, is gluten beer healthier than normal beer? I'm like, no, there's still alcohol in it. The alcohol is the big negative in a beer.
But there's that word again, healthy. So what are we saying? Are we saying that it's going to lower your cardiovascular risk if you consume a moderate amount?
Or are we saying the healthy option?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying this is the less unhealthy. Seems to be like.
So if you were with me, like this is where things get super awkward because like you have a professional trying to sell something and they don't know what you do for a living and then they start asking you questions and then like things that come out of their mouth they just like take a step back and they're like
the marketing conflicting with the.
Mm-hmm. So again, you have empty calories, alcohol, something people tend to overconsume both of, and then you're saying it's healthy because it doesn't have gluten, and they're riding this mainstream idea that gluten is the root of all evil.
And one of the easiest rules to follow is just not to drink your calories.
Right.
If you're trying to maintain or lose weight, it's just like, okay, stay away from stuff that's easy to consume.
Yeah.
Like, so don't drink your calories. Stick with water.
Yeah, and it's very basic things that you can make small changes and have big impacts. So,
yeah. And the way the conversation ended was, so this will help me lose weight. And my sense was, no, move more. That will help me lose weight.
I mean, maybe it will help them lose weight too, because again, it's like Brad says, if you go from eating 4 Big Macs a day to eating 3 Big Macs a day, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah.
So it's weird.
Well, it's in another kind of, I guess, piggyback off that statement was, you know, you see people all the time, they work out real hard. They work out, you know, 2-3 hours a week. And they're wondering why they're not losing any weight. And it's like, well, you work out 2-3 hours a week, but you're not
afterwards,
doing...
Afterwards, you're at a Buffalo.
Yeah, walk. Afterwards, you don't really do anything else. You don't do the little other things. Or you may stress it. You may do this. You may have other issues that are going on with you. And they're like, well, I should be losing weight because, again, they start projecting where, well, this person works out less than I do, or I'm in the gym as much as they are, and they look great. Why not me? And I think a lot of it has to do with it is they see the media like the Biggest Loser, where you know they see people drop hundreds of pounds, like go from 400 pounds to 200 pounds or even less.
Montage mentality.
Yeah. Well, they realize that they're with a dietitian, they're with a therapist, they're with strength coaches, and they're there 8 hours a day.
They're in a fake bubble.
You're seeing a little,
they're in a fit because they
don't seeing a blip of their life.
Yeah, but when they leave that so-called ranch. They gain weight back again. And their excuse is it's society's fault. Society doesn't accept them anymore. And you hear that crap all the time where society's being mean to the people that are overweight, thus they eat more. Now,
that's just an individual problem, like eating your feelings.
Yeah, it's
like,
a mental health issue.
But, I mean, if you've identified that as your issue, is that you overconsume when you... But so maybe eliminate all the extra snack food that you have in your house, like something simple like that.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you guys. Now, this could be a good, a bad, or an ugly one, depending on how you look at it. Was the amount of gyms that are opening up lately in America, especially in the Columbus area, when they're popping up every which direction? I mean, I think the area where our gym is located, I think 4 have popped up in the last probably 18 months.
Wow.
Right. And ours has been there for quite a while, but then you have the Planet Fitness, the LA Fitness, then you have the Aussie Fit, and you have another facility that's a little local one that opened up.
Are actual Australians in the Aussie Fit?
Yeah. Are there Australian women there?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's
we signed up already.
The owner's from Australia. That's why it's called that. But it's actually a cool name.
That's unfortunate.
And I've actually heard people tell me that, you know, just out and about again, like you're eating lunch and the conversation sparks up and you kind of, sometimes you step in, sometimes you get thrown in the conversation because everybody likes to talk about health and fitness, especially when they see athletes on TV and they see people in the summer and all that stuff.
And it's one of those subjects where like everybody's a quote unquote expert.
Exactly.
Once you read a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the questions came about where do you work out? And then I overheard an individual say, it just, they live in the same area where the where our gym is located, and basically said, there's just too many gyms. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with how many gyms there to go from. I don't know what's right, what's wrong, what equipment's good for me, what's not. Now, I always figured the more gyms the better, because that's going to increase the amount of people or population that can actually take advantage of it. But I never thought about somebody get overwhelmed with the amount of
talking
gyms.
About analysis paralysis, essentially.
Yes.
But the thing is, like, is that, are they actually paralyzed by the number of choices in the gym, or are they using that as an excuse not to?
Well, I've heard people getting paralyzed, you know, they go to the store and they get overwhelmed with the amount of choices, or they get overwhelmed
with... like, Gala apples, Michigan apples, red apples, like...
Yeah, right. Yeah, people just get so overwhelmed when there's too many choices and they can't figure it out, and it almost stresses them out to the point where they just leave without making a decision.
Or they just is that a mental health issue, too?
I don't know.
Or they just buy what's on sale.
Maybe that's what it is. That's why some of these gyms that are surviving at $10 a month, because that's the gym that's on sale.
If it's not a priority in your life already, then you're going to want to take minimal damage. So you want it to have as little as a footprint on your wallet as it can, if you're unsure what benefit it's going to reap.
So you think it's more of a cop-out, more than an actual an illness or a disorder, that someone actually gets overwhelmed with the amount of choices?
There are so many different people out there. Mm-hmm. It could be a cop-out for one person. It could legitimately be like analysis paralysis for another. I mean, there are always going to be gyms popping up.
I always looked at it as a good thing that more gyms pop up. That means... There's a reason for it. It means that more people are getting into the health and fitness industry.
So, I mean, the same could be said for, like, restaurants popping up and closing down. Is that good or bad for the food industry?
Yeah, and I think it depends what your perspective is. So if you're a gym owner, potential gym owner, maybe not a good sign. but working with so many obese people or people with complicated health problems, and, again, I understand if you're going to own a gym how this is going to sound bad, but having very minimal amounts of money, like $10 a month for a gym, and access or even free access to a health club, I mean, that's great for the general population to be able to get healthy. And it's up to you to get as healthy as you want to get, but as long as you have access to it, that's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's benefit from society as a whole, whether you're looking from an insurance standpoint or an individual standpoint, or just being healthier as a nation, I think that's a very good thing.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this, because you've stated before about when you would go give free nutritional advice to places and no one would show up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if we had a gym where it was free to everybody, do you think people would actually take advantage of that? Or do they feel like, hey, it's free, I'm not, if I don't go, no harm, no foul?
You know, I have a very biased opinion towards this, because it seems like, I don't know how to say this without getting political. It seems like people have a lot of emphasis on money and materialism in our culture. And when things are free, it has lesser of a value, because that's how we were kind of trained and brought up. And to be honest with you, the reason a lot of times the free workshops, seminars, discussions, counseling, that doesn't pan out, because we don't have the money for marketing to... be on the radio or be in a newspaper, or pay someone to do social media. It's like, hey, we're very busy. Oh, by the way, we have this hour that we're going to dedicate to the community, to give back to the community. Come see us. And then there's a little turnout. Well, we don't have time to sit there and beg people to come do it. But if you're an owner of an establishment, that's your sole mission, trying to get people to come in. So you're spending a lot of resources and time trying to market and promote your business. You don't have that when you are giving a free resource away.
And that makes good sense, because years ago I used to do is I would give someone almost a month free of training, like pro bono, to try to build up, it's basically another customer, and they have, I'm thinking one customer has five friends and that person has five friends. It's a good referral process. And I did it for almost a year, so I probably did it once every month. So I had six people I trained for free. And out of those six people, only one person continued. It was like, once they did the free thing, they're like, oh, thanks, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And only one person felt like they liked it to the point where they went further. And I thought, okay, I thought that was worth the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if on a bigger scale how that would be.
Yeah, I don't know, because we've done a lot. We've done a lot of podcasts for free. We've done a seminar for free. We're talking about doing two more seminars for free. you know, at one point, you know, again, I just did my tax today and I have all these student loans. I'm like, at what point, like, you know, I want to keep giving stuff away for free, but I've spent a considerable amount of my free time and I'm paying a large amount of student loans back. Like, you know, kind of need to pay these things back.
Right.
So, like, I understand, like, everyone should have access to free, in my mind, free healthcare, have free gyms, have access to free dietitians, but that's not the way our society is built, and you do have to charge some to, in order to provide for yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when we're doing these, it's not like we're spending so much time promoting the podcast and these seminars. It's like our closest circle, hey, we're doing this, put some on social media. So I, you know, I see both the good and the bad to it. I really believe, and I could be mistaken, it's just my opinion, that people in our culture, if it's free, they are automatically have a lesser value for it.
I agree with you 100% because when people actually invest their hard-earned money into it, they're going to show up. They're actually going to put time and effort into it.
Yeah.
If they don't, then there's nothing holding them to that. There's no responsibility. There's no accountability. And I think that's one thing people really need. And I think that's why when gyms are so cheap, there's no accountability for the person to show up. I mean, say it's a $10 gym. Some people pay that on a drink nowadays. So it's like, oh, I spent that yesterday at a drink. So if I lose another 10 bucks, no big deal. I mean, people will probably lose that and change throughout a month. So there's no accountability. But if the price is, like, example, like a CrossFit gym. One, typically people that do CrossFit are up in the fitness level a little bit. You know, they're kind of, they drank the Kool-Aid to the point where that's all they think about. You know, they talk CrossFit all day long. They wear CrossFit clothes. They only wear CrossFit clothes. Their gym price is going up for about $100 to $250 bucks a month. Okay? They do that because they, every month, that money comes out and that's telling them, hey, you got to get there. Because if not, you're throwing money away. Same thing with guys at jiu-jitsu academies or Muay Thai or just MMA gyms, period. The prices are set, one, to keep the amount of people down there low. Because you don't want to just have thousands of people in there, you don't ever get stuff done. But two, the people that go there and pay there are serious. Because if no one shows up to a facility or business, they can't speak well about it. Most of the time they'll speak negative because, like, ah, it's good, but I don't go because of XYZ. They don't want to say I don't go because I'm lazy. They always have a reason why. So if I'm if I go to a gym and I'm only paying $10 a month, to me, it's no big deal. Like, oh, why don't you go to that gym? Ah, it's okay. I don't have time, or it's really not that expensive, so I don't go, no big deal. You know, but if I'm spending $100 to go to this gym, you better believe I'm either going to go or I'm going to quit.
Yeah. And really look at that with the nutrition counseling. I was asked to do nutrition counseling at Roning, and you know, there's like vague words about like how that's going about, but like I set expectations and I'm like, okay, with my time right now, like I have a full-time job, I can't dedicate this and be on weekends, and I need to get my LLC and all these other things worked out. I'll do it for free right now until I get these things established, and then I'll go up from there. So how many people go to that gym? I don't know, but zero people is taking advantage of it, which is very interesting. But I guarantee once I get my things and I start promoting it and if you look at the dietitian fees of counseling, they're outrageous. They shouldn't be that high. I'm going to be nowhere near that, but I can see now people aren't taking advantage of it when it's free. But when you assign, say, $40 an hour, $60 an hour, that I would be able to get some clientele, and people rationalize it like a pair of gloves is $60. Well, why not invest that $60 in your knowledge and make sure you're on the right path? But again, it goes back to that. How much time am I promoting free business? I'm not doing it at all. Just a message to someone like, hey, would you do this? And you've sent me people and they don't want to, you know, even take the time to do it. So it's like, well, you know.
All right. It's like when we did the movement, like when I did that, not movement seminar, but kind of just went over there and showed people a couple weeks ago what I bring to the table. And a couple people were very responsive about it. And they asked, and again, they asked, hey, you're going to come back again? You come back again? I'm like, I will, but there will be a fee attached to it next time because, you know, I'm here to help this facility as well as, you know, me too. Because like you, I put the time and effort in to learn this information. So you don't have to, but to get that information, you have to kind of pay the piper kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic because, you know, as I'm, you know, I'm right now I specialize in critical care. Like I have to be able to debate and spew out guidelines and knowledge to doctors and pharmacists. And there's that high level of banter back and forth, and it's not always pleasant. But at the same time, like, I need to bring that to the table from a sports nutrition perspective. So after work, I've been slowly going through all the resources and all the literature, and this is time I'm taking. And before, I'd be like, wow, I feel weird charging people a little bit of money for this, because essentially I'm just talking to them. You know, I'm just saying it. I know it off the top of my head, but I only know this off the top of my head because I put in so much work to do my research and be able to speak intelligently. And right now, going through it, I'm like, this is a lot of work. I do need to be charging for this because I'm spending a large amount of my free time doing this. So, I've had that inner dialogue going back and forth with myself. Like, would I pay this much money for this? I don't know if I would, but, it really is kind of up to the economy and the consumer, and they don't seem to respond well to free stuff, in my experience.
Well, if you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. True. And I think, again, it's like, okay, you have two cars. One, they don't know what they look like, but one says 100 grand, one says it's 10.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, I want the 100 grand car. They don't even know what it is. They're just like, I want that car. Well, why? Because it's worth more. So if it's worth more, it must be better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole idea. If I go to two gyms, one's a $10 gym, one's a $100 gym. Well, the gym's probably a better gym. Or I have a dietitian that charges $10 and a dietitian charges $100, or a trainer. So whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a counselor. You can basically name any service industry. And people will be like, well, it's cheap, so I'll go to the cheap one, but I'm going to probably get something bad.
Yeah,
it's
you'll convince yourself that a $20 hamburger is better, or a $50 steak is better than a $10 steak.
Yeah, or a $5 beer is better than a $1 beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to say, well, this is better, so I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I mean, some of it is true. Some of the times you have to pay better for better quality. When it comes to service industry, I think some people are afraid, like, well, it's only 60 bucks, 100 bucks for him to talk about what I should eat, or 100 bucks for him to tell me what to do to make me work, you know, move better. It's a lot of money. I'll go to this guy that says he can do the same thing for 10, but then they go there and they get no results or negative results, and then it's basically one person lost in the industry. Like, I'm done. I'm not going to spend any more money on it because it's a waste. But those are things that people can choose. But if it's, we have to spend more on cars or you know, food, we're willing to do that because it's almost to the point where, like, well, I know this is better because they say it's better, they market it better, and I've had it before and it's pretty decent. And it's kind of funny how the industry works, where you have people that are very highly professional, highly educated, say in your situation, and they'll get someone that's not even close to the education or experience you are, but they'll undercut you because they can't.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, I can get the same thing for less because all he's telling you is what to eat. But the problem is they can't spew off probably a third of what you can say about each individual. And the same thing in the strength and conditioning. You have some people like, well, I look good. I'll charge you less than he charges, and we'll get you where you need to get to.
Yeah. And interesting enough, I was looking up different prices of dietitian, and the leading dietitian that, like, revolutionized sports dietetics, Nancy Clark, she's one of them, like the pioneers, and been at it. And, like, her face was on a Wheaties box in, like, the early 80s, I think. And I think she's paying or charging like 250 or 280 bucks for the first session.
Yeah.
Hour and a half session, mandatory first session. And then, after that, I mean, it's pretty expensive. But again, she's worked her way to that point.
She's worth it.
Yeah. So, and I try to think to myself, like, if you send us the same client, how is that going to be different? The two experiences going to be different. Of course, does that day in, day out would be much better to go to. But is that price going to be so much different? It's up to the consumer to decide that. So it's weird. I always have these conversations with myself and trying to set a point when I start getting my business to the point where I am going to charge, of where do I set that at?
Well, things like the podcast. Okay, we all listen to podcasts, and we'll go through them. We'll see a particular artist or a particular strength coach or dietitian or whoever it may be on a podcast. We'll listen to their podcast. We'll listen to them, and their stuff could be very true or could be very false.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're on the waves and expressing their opinion, they just seem more knowledgeable. And we're like, well, that guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. I probably wouldn't want to work with him over some guy I've never heard before. Or if they have words that they've written on paper, if they've been published, if they have a book, write that away. Regardless if the book's even good or not, if they have a book and they can give me here, buy my book, or here's a book, and you see that their name's author to it, you're going to probably focus on them more than someone that didn't. Even though they might not be as good as someone that hasn't been published, but the idea of just having your name said over and over again, regardless what you're spewing, you automatically have better knowledge. And when you and I have talked about mm-hmm. that, it's some of these people that are considered the top level people in the industry don't know a lot, but people assume they know a lot because one, they've had a really good client, or two, that they've have a book published, and it's basically the same stuff over and over
again. Yeah, it's spewed for it's not years. How well you like it's not how much you know at this point. It's how well you market yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the ugliest parts about the industry. And you can't say it's a negative thing that these guys market so well, because the whole point of marketing is to get exposure. But people don't look into the marketing so much. It's almost like they say, you know, I have this, you know, I go to the store and I see all these products in front of me. Whoever has the best catch line or the better looking box, that's probably going to get my attention.
Yeah, I mean, years and years and years have gone into marketing research. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to get ahead of the curve.
No.
The average person is absolutely not going to get ahead of the curve on that. You got thousands and thousands of professionals doing work on marketing.
Just mega marketing.
How the human mind works. How to catch it.
How to manipulate it.
How to manipulate it. How to get a little bit of that person's time. And I mean, that's... You don't want to... You're not going to be able to fight against it. You want to be able to utilize its strengths for your needs, but that's a
well, that's where you see the ethics go out the window for a lot of people.
Yeah, and then that's some scary waters to tread.
It's when it comes to selling programs, it's like, do this program 10 minutes a day, you know, be good. The next will be like, do a program 9 minutes a day, and be like, do a program, you know, 1 minute every other day, and you'll be fit and sexy and all this other stuff.
At some point, like you in your head, you may think like, oh well, you know, I want to target these individuals that, you know, are on like out of the, let's say, general like three levels of fitness or four levels. So you have like 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 0 is your couch potato. 1 is your average person that goes to the gym. 2 is maybe like your person who does a little more, something a little more, maybe something specialized, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, CrossFit, something. And then 3 is your professional or your college athlete. And you want to market to level 2. You're not getting much exposure. So maybe you dumb it down a little bit, level 1, reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb it down a little further, reach level 0. But at that point, what are you compromising out of your initial plan? How did that transform? Yeah. You can look at it kind of like a pyramid. Your level zeros, your couch potatoes, take up the majority of the population,
mm-hmm.
and then it only gets more specific. The number dwindles from there.
And see, the thing is, you can charge more for the top. It's just harder to get them.
So, yeah, do you just charge less and provide less for more?
Because you'll have to charge, you have to do less because there's too much of them, and most of the people aren't probably going to listen to what you have to say anyways.
So, yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, it has weird. To do with a lot of marketing, a lot of pricing. Again, I mean, you see someone, every time you see a television program
and,
that has
and
some new
culture, because we're only speaking from our experience in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak to any other country out there as far as, like, the health and fitness industry and how that is. We're specifically speaking to our experience and what we've grown up with. So it may be different.
Completely different in other places.
I imagine it is different.
Yeah. But, I mean, when it comes to the aspect of marketing, I think this is the same, because I've seen commercials from other countries, like, you know, emails or videos from other countries, and it always talks about so-and-so, a world-renowned artist, or has published 3 books, and that's what they start with. And automatically you're thinking, this guy's smart, this guy knows what he's doing because he's published multiple books or published a book.
They were children's books.
See, it could be that bad. It could be a children's book, or it could be a snuff book.
Oh, it's a quote-unquote bestseller, but it's a children's book.
Yeah, but see, they don't say that. They say, oh, he published a book, so right away it's initial experience, it's initial knowledge, or automatically the guy knows it because he's an author. And people like to follow that suit. It's like, oh, if he's an author, he knows it. He's a pioneer in the industry. And again, it could be a horrible book. It could have sold 3 copies, one to him and 2 to his parents. You know, that's. But again, if you're an artist, right, or if you've written a book, you're considered a serious individual.
Mm.
Or if you have a good blog post or something like that. And I'm not saying that's a horrible part of the industry. I think it's a good part that there's more. professionals.
Opportunity.
Right. They're writing. They're doing things. They're getting their ideas out there. But it's just bad that the public is so naive, the fact to think, well, this guy wrote something, he must be smart. They don't even read it. They're just like, oh, I heard about his book. I've seen the cover of it one time.
I mean, it's designed for you not to have to look into it. They get your attention with those tidbits of information, and then they go on, whether that's a commercial, a radio advertisement, or whatever. Like, you're not going to pause the TV and say, okay, let me see what books this guy's written.
Yeah.
No, you're sitting there on your couch, and it pops up, and the information is thrown at you. You're forced to digest it, do something with it subconsciously, and then move on to what they're pushing. No person, like, even if you are aware, you're not going to stop it and say, I can't. Like, we're both aware of it. Do you stop those commercials when they say? Or
no, you're like, oh, that guy's an artist.
Do you look into it? No, you just digest it right there. You do exactly what
they try to pull, yeah.
Yeah, what you're being manipulated to do.
Then when you hear that guy's name again, you're like, oh, he wrote a book I heard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So and that's why I said, like,
they're good.
They're good.
They are good.
You're good. Not going to get ahead of the curve on that. You're doing exactly what they want you to do. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
I'm going to plug my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's the thing is, and it's not a bad thing, but I think a lot of people get lost, or they follow the wrong leader when it comes to what's best for them. And a lot of it is, like, kind of what we said many, many times before, is each program when it comes to health and fitness, wellness, nutrition, mindset, doesn't matter what it be, has to be individualized. You just can't have a cookie cutter program
and expect to be
successful in it.
But also, like, what is best for you?
We have to find that out.
Yeah, and that's where nutrition, like we always say, like here is like the mainstream narrative. Here are all the guidelines and high power research. Now, that is the first step.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the absolute first step. And then how you react to these guidelines, and that's when working with dietitians and doing follow-ups and saying, okay, we've tried this strategy. Here's our monitoring tools, if I can say the word. And then we're reassessing, how'd you do? Okay, let's try this. Let's tweak it. And then we fine-tune it more and more and more down the road to figure out what is best for you.
Yeah, it takes continuous effort to determine what's best for you. Same way with the eating, quote unquote, healthy. Like, maybe you heard of a food that's, you know, it's not processed, but you don't react well to it. You don't digest it well. You get stomach problems.
Mm-hmm.
But but that goes with the monitoring tools, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. But I just don't think there's a consistent effort on that part.
It is a lot of work, though, because I know from a strength and conditioning perspective,
yeah,
I've had so many issues just leading up to this point. And the reason is because you start off wanting to be big or have vanity reasons. And I lifted so long doing the bodybuilder type stuff. I went to more of the powerlifter type stuff and back to the bodybuilder stuff. And I personally know, like, I have some of those mobility issues because of it. And my body, for whatever reason, likes very heavy weight, low reps. And I have never done well in cardio. So, like, that's my weakness. And it seems like I need a program to kind of work on those weaknesses of cardio and mobility and full body type strength instead of, like, isolation. And that's where, like, you start one place and you start seeing, like, oh, I do all these type of works out and I have pulled hamstrings, or I'm prone, mm-hmm, to injury in jiu-jitsu and judo because of my background of lifting that way, and I'm continuously stiff and whatnot. So, like, I understand that. It's really hard and takes a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really in anything it does.
All right, so we're getting to the end, so let's wrap it up. So we're going to end it with basically give me a good, a bad, and an ugly of what you feel from this cast, or just in general that you find in the fitness industry, whether it be the mental aspect, the nutritional aspect, the rehab aspect, or the strength and conditioning aspect. Who wants to lead us off?
I'll go first. I think the ugly to me is people that are professionals or not professionals that are giving advice and selling things, but they have the bottom dollar as, like, their number one goal, and they don't have the people's best interest in mind, and they are negatively affecting people's health and hindering their progress to make a profit. That, to me, that's the worst. And that's the worst part about being in this industry, in my opinion. I think the good side to that is there are good people and good professionals out there that are trying to make a living but not gouge people, and they may charge for a half hour and do an hour and only charge them for a half hour, and they really care about people, and they're trying to make everyone as best as they can be. So to me, that's the good and the ugly. Mm-hmm. I don't really have, I mean, there's a middle ground and bad, but
I got you on the bad. Okay. Is the people spreading the information that's wrong, but they don't know.
Yeah.
So ignorant people, so someone ignorant of the actual factual evidence spreading information without actually looking into it. That's the bad. So I completely agree with the ugly, as mm-hmm. far as like those professionals who don't care and they just are in there to reap the benefits in an industry that's meant to make people better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bad is just the amount of misinformation out there, and the people, you know, pushing something, doing things they don't know why, and recommending it for other people. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you know, I'm doing this, you need to do this, but why? But the good is that as much as is out there, you see people focusing more on themselves now. Like, people are willing to focus on themselves. Like, and while, like, it's a fantastic first step, just the fact that you're willing to look inward. And where they go from there, I mean, that's on them. That's their smart goals, their priorities. And I would... it'd be a shame for me to try to just push my ideals on that person. Mm-hmm. But at least be willing to look inward.
See, my good, bad, and ugly kind of... we're all from the same entity. And I would say, like, the internet. So the good is the fact that so many professionals nowadays, good professionals, ones that actually have a good backing, speak good language, or good knowledge, they're out there spreading their word on the internet most of the time for free. They're on YouTube or Instagram or things like that. So the knowledge is available if you go do the research, which I think is very good. The bad is there's a lot of knowledge out there that, similar to what you said, they think it's right, but it's really not. They're showing things of their success, but overall it's not the best
thing for them.
Yeah, thing for them. And then the ugly would be the people basically spewing information to make money that has no bearing on any individual themselves, basically spreading out this workout plan, this nutritional product, because they take it, they look good. And that's the one thing I'm seeing a lot is, like, a good example is, we have some very good physical therapists and strength coaches that post stuff online. And the basic thing is, this is what I believe. This is the things I've done with my athletes. They don't say, do this. Then you have the other guys that are just amateur people that work out and say, they show off their workouts and say, oh, this is a killer workout for me. It killed me. Then you have the guys that are basically saying, I did this. I took this supplement to do this workout, and I've increased my chest, or I've increased my bench press by doing this programming. So it's like, and if you really want to know more, buy my product. So I guess that's kind of the three right there. Is the good is that there's a lot of good, better professionals showing more information that's available to everybody. The bad is there's some information that is not that great. It's just there's too much. And then the ugly is the fact that people are making money off of the ignorance of individuals because they look good or they sound good or they have good models to do their programming, which they know it's a bunch of crap, but they're just making money. So
that's pretty good.
Anybody else? Anything to say? Any fun facts?
Word.
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 All right.